Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Hey friends and foes, it's Mort of Rebrand, just coming in a little hot to welcome you to this episode with the one and only comedian, actor, brilliant pal, Ron Funches. This is a fun one. We're real psyched to have Ron. And to let you know that we have a Patreon, so if you want to support the show for a measly little $5 a month, you get access to the Discord, where you get to ask Ashley and I questions when we do hangouts pretty much monthly. We release ad-free episodes on the Patreon. You'll also get unreleased footage, pictures of Cody, stuff like that. So that's it. Hope you're having a beautiful week. This one's about video games. I bet you're gonna love it. You're probably exhausted. I bet this wears. I feel like Ashley could use a nap.
Yeah, I could. We could just sleep for the length of the podcast. Actually,
I love naps. I'm a big believer in naps. I try to nap every day if
really?
I can. Yeah, but this was my naps are normally about 2 to 4 p.m. Those are my normal nap time. I try to subscribe to a like naked and afraid type of lifestyle that. When the sun's at its highest peak, I want to be in bed.
Well, whoa. That makes sense, actually, because I feel like 4 p.m. is the sad girl hour. That's where the demons come for me. Yeah, that's the time the demons come for me.
Yeah.
It's the best to be asleep.
Yeah. You just post-digestion, so it's all that food is like pulling your emotions down into the dark place.
Yeah. So just go to night-night.
Yeah. Take a little nap, have 2 days in one, what I like to do.
Ooh, that's a fun way to think about it. You get 2 for 1.
You get 2 for 1. I get my morning day. Usually wake up early, 6:30, 7 a.m. Then I go Pilates, which I did today. And then I come home, do a little bit of work. And then I take my first nap. And then I get up. Day 2 begins.
Day 2.
Yep. Then I go do a show at night. It's the only way because I'm up all the time. People are always like, are you a night owl or day owl? Which I think is not how you're supposed to say it. And I'm like, I'm up all the time. So I got a nap in the middle of the day.
And what is generally what time you get to sleep at night at post show?
Probably like midnight 1.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Do you prefer day part 1 or day part 2?
I like them both because they're different. Sure. Day part 1 is usually harder to get going because I got to get up.
Yeah.
And move. But I really like when I'm... like when it's noon and I'm like, oh, I already did a voiceover. I already went to Pilates or jiu-jitsu or whatever. And then I feel accomplished and then I get to have my whole second day.
Okay. So unfortunately, you've already rebranded naps. Otherwise, I would definitely suggest that
as the
theme. Is there any theme you'd like are interested in rebranding?
Man, I love that now. Now I feel like we should have. I can't keep doing naps. I have to.
I know. It's obviously the perfect one.
Yeah, fuck.
It was good.
We already did a hot hour on naps.
Yeah, damn.
And really, you should listen to the episode. We really pushed it hard.
Oh, wow. I didn't. Well, I'm sorry that I'm limited to what you've already done before.
It's just a great idea is all.
Well, we could rebrand sleep. That's slightly different.
We already, we already also did an episode on being a night owl. So we've done a lot of actually sleep rebranding.
Oh, we're big fans of sleep over
and
here.
Really, I think on the naps episode, we really did kind of blame all the world's ills on people not napping. And I stand behind that.
Yeah, I stand behind that as well.
They get cranky.
Yeah, everyone's just cranky. That's why there are wars.
You're not supposed to make a decision while you're cranky.
No.
Everyone
hungry. Needs nap time.
Yeah.
Or hungry, angry, lonely, tired, they say.
Yep.
Yep. Or that's horny.
Right. Or horny.
Fuck. Yeah. That's just as big as hungry, I think.
Horny.
You'd be able to be like, I'm horngry. Yeah.
That's true. They tried that with the Snickers thing. That was that was the first draft.
Yeah.
You're not yourself when you're horngry.
You're horny and angry.
Oh, I didn't know if that was horny and hungry.
Well, that's
horny and angry.
It okay. should. There, yeah, there needs to be both. There needs to be horny and angry, and then horny, hungry, and angry. Which is then you can legally commit murder. At that point,
that's true. But don't have sex with the afterwards.
That's right. You get one activity out of that event.
You get one.
You get one. You get to choose one.
Yep.
Well, we were bandying about very different topics.
Sure.
Fan fiction has been on the docket for a minute, as has video games. Mm-hmm. I don't know if either of those pique your interest or if you
I would love video games. I like your hat, so of course.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I forgot I was wearing it. It was Katamari Damacy. Do you know this, honey? Do you know?
Yeah, he's the one that absorbs the world.
He rolls up the world onto a ball, yeah.
Yeah, it's a hell of a game.
Yeah.
And sort of really like dark thematically.
Oh yeah, it was supposed to be a critique of capitalism, but everyone was like, it's so fun. Capitalism,
yeah, let's make 20 of them.
Yeah.
Like Squid Game.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yes.
Like Squid Game.
That's exactly what happened with Squid Game. Every critique of capitalism just becomes the best thing at being a capitalist product.
Yeah.
Turns out.
Yeah, that's the problem with satire.
Yeah.
If Jonathan Swift came out with that letter about eating poor people right now, people would be like, oh, we should do that.
My friend John is always saying that we need to eat one billionaire. If we all got together and ate one billionaire, that they'd think twice.
Yeah.
He thinks that would solve a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty similar to the Luigi thing, right? It just kind of...
That's true.
So, but I think not then, because then people will be like, let's never talk about this again.
That's true.
Yeah, they'll just hire more Navy SEALs to protect them, probably.
That's true.
Yeah, I think it was a little misguided that everybody thought that was going to
solve the world.
One rich kid with a gun was going to
fix it all. Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we do video games then?
Let's do it.
I'm down. And then, Ron, how would you like to be introduced?
However you like. Oh, I thought we didn't even start yet. Well,
I'm gonna leave all that shit in there. I just been like going and then sort of leaving it. Yeah, some of them just start with us like arbitrarily and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a peek behind the curtain to how us a big time Hollywood celebs figure out what we're gonna talk about on the podcast.
So are you gonna put this intro stuff first then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Then shall I do the thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello. Welcome to Rebrand, a comedy podcast where we inject new life into tired old brands, whether they be snack food, celebrities, or religious institutions. I am Ashley Birch.
And I am Mort Burke.
And we are joined by the one, the only...
Actor, comedian, brilliant sweetheart, Ron Funches.
Ron Funches. Thanks for joining us, Ron.
Thank you for having me. I know it's not, but it almost feels like my name is a fusion of your two names, but it's not.
Yeah,
but it feels like it.
It feels in the same family of name. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. We did play fake siblings once on a cartoon.
We did. I loved it. Happily, my sister. I know.
So I think we're fake related.
And Conan O'Brien is our dad. What a great family.
What a family.
That is pretty excellent. What a fun like orphanage that is. Where little
the
Ashley and little Ron and Conan's daddy Warbucks or whatever.
So we talked about rebranding video games.
Yes.
And I feel like the current brand of video games is... probably not that great. What do you think the current brand of video games is, Ron?
Current brand of video games, I think, is buy the same game that you bought last year.
That's so true.
Give us more money, and then we'll also fix it after you buy it.
Yeah, it's not going to be great when you buy it. Yeah.
We're going to build it. Like, we're not going to even finish it until after you bought it. So.
That's true. It's buy the same game. It's broken. It's unfinished. It will get finished, maybe, at some point.
If you buy it.
If you buy it, we could finish it in like 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And if you are lucky, you could give us $50 more to play it even more broken.
But it'll have like Batman in it or something.
Yeah, it's not a Batman game. It is. Never... It's a military game, and all of a sudden, Batman is in it.
Yeah, yeah, like Squidward will be in there for some reason or something.
I can't even tell you. It's got to be 3 or 4 times this year where I tell myself every time, don't pre-order a game, Ron. You don't even want to be early. The things will be broken. It won't work. And I pre-order a game to get access 3 days early, and then it doesn't even work until after my access period is over. They don't give you any money back. They don't do anything like that. They just like, here's a piece of armor, if anything. Here's a little costume that sucks. You don't even get a good one. I think the brand of video games right now is really not that great.
It's Ponzi scheme. It seems like it's an MLM or something.
Yeah.
That we're all opting into.
Yes, I agree with you. And it needs to change. And we need to go back to just having it being fun and silly. There are, I think, like anything, it reminds me, I think if you look all over mainstream anything right now, it's not the best, right? I don't feel like mainstream comedy right now is the best. Mainstream music isn't the best. I don't think it ever really is. But like at this point, it feels even worse with the AI stuff and all the things that are going on and a lot of copycats. And I think when you look under the current, then there's all these other beautiful games that are cheaper and independent. I think everybody's playing Hollow Knight, Silk Song and stuff like that right now, or just finding fun with a game like Balatro. And
I loved Balatro so much.
I just think it's got to go back to just being, I think, you know, like anything, it has this cycle where it's not valued. It's looked upon as silly or childish, and then it starts making money. And then the same people who were like, this sucks and this is childish, suddenly go, oh, I should be involved in this. They don't have any love for it or care for it. They just see the dollar signs, and then they ruin the things that we love. I see it in all my game series, whether it's like NBA 2K or Call of Duty, where you're like, you just see the corporate inshittification of the thing that you love, you know?
Yeah, the bullshitification for sure. And it's that period where it gets good is because the only people left doing it are the people who truly love it. So they're the ones who create the quality.
It's crazy that Call of Duty was like, you know what this franchise needs? Kevin Spacey.
Seth Rogen.
Uncanny Valley, Seth Rogen and Kevin Spacey in this military game. That's what's really going to take us to the next level. That's what we need.
That's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
They had Kevin Spacey from the Cat movie, though, when he was the cat.
Oh, the.
Do you ever see the one with, no, there's a Kevin Spacey movie where he switches bodies with a cat.
I have to go. I have to go purchase and
me
watch
and my friends. Oh, you think so?
When
I was so excited. I was like, this is gonna be the worst best thing, and it just is the worst thing.
Really?
It is so bad.
Is it ripped for the headlines where the cat is sexually assaulting young
other cats?
Young cats.
Is that a full 90-minute film?
Yeah, if that, I feel like it felt like a 2 hour. It felt three plus.
Jesus.
It feels long. Ooh. I believe Christopher Walken is in it as well. So I was like, I'm going to get baked, maybe do a small amount of shrooms. I'm going to go see this cat movie. Look. I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah, that sounds like it was designed to watch high in the middle of the afternoon. Like it should have been. Yeah. The ultimate version of that.
Yeah.
How do you think people would? No, I'm not. I'm kind of a gamer. You guys are gamers, so I'm imploring you, your expertise. How would people respond if we went back to cartridges?
I think people could. Well, okay, because so much of how I play games, the only way that I play games these days is by downloading things digitally. So it's a novelty to have cartridges, certainly.
Yep. And it's sort of like the downloadability is what kind of allows them to trot out the beta version of it that's not done yet. And they're like, don't worry, we'll re-upload this.
So you're saying if we went back to cartridges, they couldn't do this early access shit?
In what I'm positing, you get one finalized version of the game. And the only way to do that is through like actual hardware.
Right.
Just a thought.
Yeah. I mean, I
Like, how cool would it be to have the Zelda Breath of the Wild cartridge?
I mean, I am nostalgic for the days of malfunctioning 30% of the time, have to blow into it, kind of, you know what I mean? There is something tactile and nice about it.
That's also true, that those also didn't really work.
No, they didn't super work. Yeah. But that was part of the charm.
They had their own revisions. They'd be different cartridges that fix things if there were, like, really big bugs in certain games.
Yeah.
They would revise, but yeah, I think it is a certain thing that having it be download only gives people the best of both worlds, where they're able to say that we can fix it later. And also at the same time, what's wild is that they talk about just how much the rising cost of gaming is without talking about the loss of manufacturing costs, the fact that there is no longer, like, they're not making CDs or DVDs or manuals or cases to go out, but they're still charging you more and more. So it becomes this whole thing of, like, where you keep getting less for more money and then not having a negative experience. And I think that's where people are having problem with video games. I don't know if this is true, because stats are always manipulated, but they talked about how it is feeling like video gaming could die out in a few generations, because kids that are, like, younger, a little bit younger than my son's age, or my son's age, Malcolm was 22, they don't play games anymore because they're too expensive. Yeah.
Too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Right. Because, well, a AAA game on app, because it just increased. It used to be like $60 for a AAA game, and now I think it's like 70. Or 80,
mm-hmm.
maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Like the new Donkey Kong, I think, is kind of expensive.
It's 80, yeah.
It's 80, yeah.
Here's what I don't
understand. It's crazy!
Here's another pitch.
Uh-huh.
What I don't understand is, given all the technology, how come we can't just upload Ron Funches to have Ron in Call of Duty and Donkey Kong? And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, how come I can't be in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater?
You want your likeness to get scanned and uploaded.
I want it to be me.
You
want to
be in the Matrix.
And the Powerpuff Girls. And
the Powerpuff Girls?
And, like, Keanu Reeves.
Whoa, you know what I mean? Whoa.
Yeah, you heard me. I want to decide who the fuck is in these games. I want all my childhood friends.
Well, there is,
You're talking about Miis, basically.
Yeah, there's VR chat, which is not photorealistic, obviously, but right. There is, like, which I only spent an afternoon in, and an afternoon was enough for me, which was, I logged in, I went to a very lovingly recreated Taco Bell, and there were two kids in, like, knight's armor serving tacos. And then two other kids in Mickey Mouse skins holding guns came in and held up the Taco Bell and asked for all the tacos. And they robbed the Taco Bell. And then I was like, oh, I should leave since there is an active robbery happening in this Taco Bell. I went outside, and then there was a very, very large Barney, the dinosaur, like as big as a skyscraper. And then the game crashed. And I was like, well, this seems like that seems like what VR chat is like.
Yeah, that's the fever dream you want to live in more.
That's basically what it would be like, probably.
No, because I don't want other people to have the ability to change the game. I'm saying if I purchase the
game... Oh, you
want
a personalized Mort experience.
Yeah, like, I played a lot of early NES, right? So one of my favorite games was Bionic Commando. So I'm thinking if I was a teenager and I was like, video games suck. And then somebody's like, but what if you are the lead character in Bionic Commando? It's just me with that bionic arm.
Ah, okay. So you're saying you want to be able to, like, reskin... Maybe even older games, possibly. Or any, you're saying any game.
Yeah, any game.
You want to reskin any, so you want to be Mario. You want to.
Yep. I want to do the fucking hat thing in Mario Odyssey.
Mortio.
Yeah. Yeah. You want it to be a tiny Mort running around.
Yeah, Mortio.
That is pretty good.
Yep.
Morty.
Yeah. It's a me.
Fun fact about that, he's actually saying Itsumi Mario, which means Super Mario in Japanese.
What?
Isn't that fucked up? Yeah, he's not saying it's a me. He's saying Itsumi, which is a Japanese word that means super.
Whoa. Super Mario.
Yeah, he's going Super Mario. Isn't that fucked up?
Yeah.
I do think it would be great if we could reskin Mario so that it was you as Mario and me as Bowser. And that's pretty great.
Yeah, right?
Are you guys just talking about Halloween?
Yep. Yep. That's what this rebrand is. Make video games Halloween.
I was going to say that I do think that it should be illegal for a game to be longer than 15 hours. Mm. That's my main rebrand, is that I do think that games are so long for no reason. Because then that balloons the cost, that balloons everything. The amount of time it takes to make the game, for it to come out.
Yeah. But honey, you're the lead in successful franchise Horizon Zero.
Only Horizon gets to be as long as it wants.
That's what I was looking for.
Just my franchise. That's the only one.
Well, I'll take one and just say that I don't think that you should have a full AAA role-playing game that comes out in the last few years that doesn't have hair features for black hair or minorities' hair. It's so frustrating sometimes when you can only pick, but when you are able to make a character and you are supposed to try to make it like yourself, and then it's usually just like full afro or cornrows. Just like, that's it, that's all I can choose from, or I have to just have to make this world up where I went and got a perm. I hate it so much, and it feels almost like when it's like a big game that really has a lot of things going for it. And I think like Cyberpunk was one of the last games where I was really like, oh, they just went out of their way to not put any type of black hair in here.
Really?
It was, and this happens in so many role-playing games. I don't want to say ones and then be, because there's some where I'm like, oh, hell yeah, look at that. I think Avowed had really good black hair in it. And I'm not sure if either Baldur's Gate did or didn't, and it made me, I was either impressed or upset.
You either live it or you loved it. You don't remember.
Yeah, don't recall.
I think it should switch where it's like innumerable versions of all manner of different kinds of black hair, but the only white hair option is my hair. This big blonde swoop. That's it.
That would be great, actually. I would love that.
So I'm sure there is like a lack of diversity in video game creation, probably, right?
Oh, totally. I mean, when I was recording Horizon, I was really nervous because there were very few games where there was only a female lead. Like, you could choose usually like which gender you wanted to play as. If a woman was an option, then it was like a gender swap, like Mass Effect, where you could either play as a guy or you could play as a woman. And so when I was recording Horizon, I think the last game that had come out that had a female lead didn't do very well. Mm. And everyone was like, it's because there was a woman lead.
Right. That's, yeah, so, you get one shot. If
yes.
You're, yeah.
Mm. But now that has sort of been cracked open and there are more games with female leads and that's less of a thing. But I still think the same thing happens for black leads. Like, there was a shooter that had two black leads, I think. I'm forgetting the name of it. But it also, like, I think it did okay, but people, the other thing about, not obviously not all the people that play games are awful, but there is a contingent of people that are just, like, waiting for a minority-led game or a female-led game to, like, eat shit so that they can be like, I wonder why, you know?
Right.
Yeah, well, and also it's like, you know, they'd be like, if they do want a female protagonist, then it definitely would, like, it'd be the only one where they're like, oh, she got dirty feet.
Oh yeah, there was a whole thing with Aloy for Forbidden West, where the graphics like improved substantially between the previous game and the sequel, so you could see the hairs on her face, which every woman has.
Yeah, yeah. And every mammal has.
Every mammal has. Yeah. And yeah, all the guys were like, "Ugh, she's ugly now. Why does she have a beard?" You know, it's all that kind of shit.
She always had a strong jawline. I don't know what they saw in the beginning.
She's a powerful woman.
She's powerful.
She's a strong, powerful, cavemanish woman.
Okay, Mort wants to reskin all these games that our faces are on them. I love that. I want to make them 5 hours long. I mean, that is really the thing. Indie games are the ones that are doing the most interesting shit. Like, did you play Blueprints, Ron?
I did, of course.
Did you like it?
I did, but I didn't make it through the end because I get confused.
It was very confusing.
I liked it, though, but I was like, it's like Clue and also a bit like Myst and like so many fun games that I've enjoyed in the past. But the thing about me and my friends always make fun of me because I switch. I beat a very few. Last game I beat was Ninja Gaiden Ragebound, which I think is my favorite game.
Oh, shit. New Ninja Gaiden? That's fun. Uh-huh.
And but other than that, I kind of just move from game to game, and I end up getting about 30-40% through most games. I don't beat a lot of games, but it just comes from when I was a kid. I mean, I've loved games since I was like 4 or 5 years old, but just was very poor, didn't have much money. So I don't think I've ever had more than 3 games for, like, when I was a kid, only had like 3 Nintendo games and stuff like that. So now I just, like, if I see a game I like, I'm like, I get it. I want to get it. I'm going to try it out. If I get 20 minutes of enjoyment out of it, that's fine.
Yeah, you know, right.
Like, I just, like, I want to play it. I want to try it. I like new experiences. I tell my friend Gabe, and I was like, oh, I like this about me, about my adventurous spirit, but I worry about it, me, from ability to maintain a relationship, because my friend Gabe has played No Man's Sky for the past decade.
Really?
And loves it and just keeps playing it and keeps checking in. And I'm just like, man, I play a different game every freaking week. Like,
well, there's so many too. That's the thing. Like, I'm amazed that when people can stick with a game for that long, like people that are still playing World of Warcraft, mm-hmm. I'm like, ladies, look for your fellas in the World of Warcraft community, because they're dedicated.
Yeah.
But I wonder if we should then shorten games to the Ron Funch's length of attention. I feel like that means that games should be 30-40% as long as they actually are.
I think so. Are you guys got a hook? I mean, they're mostly just like a good book for me. If I get hooked, then it doesn't matter how long it is, as long as the story keeps moving me along. But then I think there's so many games that love to start with a nice walk and chat. And I'm just like, oh, that's like, that will kill me. That will get me out of it so quick. If I'm just like, we got to chat about what's happened when I wasn't around.
That destroys my video game pitch, which is an entire game of walk and chat exposition.
Well, there are games that are sort of pejoratively called walking simulators.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That you would probably like.
That's fun.
Yeah, which is basically you just, like, you walk around and you experience story.
Yeah. See, I think I like really bad ideas.
No, but people, like, love that. Like, there's a game called What Remains of Edith Finch? That, like, won BAFTAs and shit, which is basically just you, like, walking into different rooms in this house and learning about the family.
Right.
Games are amazing, because it's a cornucopia of different shit and genres and all that kind of thing.
Yep.
It's really, like, I feel like the gripes that people have with games are probably predominantly AAA games. Mm-hmm. And then also games that, like, come out early, because indie games do this too, where they come out early access and they never finish, or, you know, like, there are a couple of, like, farming sim games or, like, whatever, like, games like that are made by, like, a couple of people that release in early access. People get really excited and then all the content runs out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like people love that kind of, there's a, you know, there's like a flavor for every person sort of situation.
Right.
But,
well, it's like, yeah, Ron was saying, yeah, the underground, the sort of opposite of the mainstream is all, and exactly, right, same thing with music, where it's like all these little pockets of, like, community create some really, really beautiful, powerful kind of music, and then, yeah, it gets, like, bought up and exploited.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how do we stop that?
Yeah, I hate it. So many of my favorite games. I mean, I think we have, there's been a lot of stuff going on with Microsoft where they bought all these studios and everybody got excited because they're like, oh, okay, cool, all these smaller studios that made games that I like, let's see what they can do with a bigger budget. And then instead it's just been what happens when you get bought up by big corp. They get one chance, they end up with, you hear all the same stories of, like, oh, there was no communication and we didn't know what we were supposed to deliver and this and that, and then they ship a game and then they close the studio.
Mm-hmm. Like,
one of my favorite games of the last few years where I love the story, I love the characters. I was like, oh, this could be a cartoon. I can't wait for its multiple sequels. And then they just shut the studio down right after they put it out. And
what game? Like,
It's a game called Hi-Fi Rush.
Oh, yeah. People loved Hi-Fi Rush.
Yeah.
Sarah was in that. My friend Sarah.
Oh, nice.
I wonder if what we need is to bring back the patron model then. I feel like that's such the problem of smaller studios or, like, AA studios. Games are so expensive to make. Well, and then also the difficult thing is that, like, you don't know if the game is going to come together until the end of the production cycle. This is what I've heard from devs, which is, like, fucking terrifying. It takes, like, apparently it's, like, in the last few months that they're like, oh, yeah, this is a good game. So they could be working on it for 5 years and be like, this is shit, this is shit, this is shit, this is shit. And then they hit like 3 months before launch and they're like, oh no, wait, this is a good game. So that's so, it's like, it's very like.
Well, okay, that leads me to another pitch. Maybe the pitch is no, nothing graphically over what we could do in like the Xbox 360 PS3 game.
Yeah, right.
Everything stops there.
Yeah.
And we don't go any more forward. No 4K, no 8K. We just stay where we were and you just work within those limitations.
I'm actually so down because my favorite games that I've played this year were like Blueprints and Lorelei and the Laser Eyes. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes is like PlayStation 2 era graphics. Blueprints could have played on the Xbox 360. I feel like, yeah, if you capped it at like a certain level of bits and then people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where we messed up when we got away from bits.
Yeah,
yeah, I love those little pixels, man. I'm dying.
Yeah, we need the bits.
Yeah. What was the one about the platformer about anxiety? Celeste?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of my favorite games.
So good.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah, because it's this thing happens all the time often where like, with technology where people get really they start confusing like what quality of camera you're using with the kind of filmmaking that you're creating. So it does there becomes a thing where you what you were saying, Ron, about like purchased by Microsoft, that shit destroys the soul of the piece.
Mm.
Right? Like the corporate. Yeah, and similarly, if you're too obsessed with exclusively like the look of the thing, it's too superficial, and it doesn't have the soul of the power of the gameplay. Like, oh, a Celeste.
I said, my favorite game this year is the Ninja Gaiden game that looks like a 16-bit Super Nintendo game.
Dude, I gotta play that.
Yeah, you probably
is it the first Ninja Gaiden was so hard? Is it that hard?
It's actually okay if you want to get into it. Well, it's so perfect because it's kind of like a puzzle game. Everybody, there's enemies that take more than one hit, but most enemies one hit kill, and then you get these enemies that have an aura around them that charge you up, and you get like this hypercharge, and they will one hit kill the bigger enemies. And so then it becomes this puzzle of like, oh, I need to attack the guy who doesn't have the aura first, then the aura guy, then the big guy, and then the other guy has an aura, and then it becomes like, so then if you mess up your chain at all, then you're stuck trying to whittle down the big guy, you know.
Mm, yep.
But if you do it right, you really start feeling like a ninja where you're just moving through the game, just slice, 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 slice,
ooh,
slice.
That sounds satisfying.
Like precise and sneaky, mm-hmm, and shit.
And one of the ways that they make it suitable and old school is that they allow you to mess with the difficulty through different talismans that you can wear, which helps your ninja grade at the end. So you can wear a talisman that, like, if you get to a checkpoint, it refills your life, or you can choose a talisman that you don't get any checkpoints and you just have to make it through like, wow, an old school type game.
Yep.
And then, not to spoil, but after you beat it one time, then it unlocks a hard mode where I thought it was just going to be, okay, tougher enemies, but it like changes up the level design of every level. It like, really, then it felt like, okay, they like, okay, if you can beat the regular mode, let's see how you would have done back in the day type of game. It's, yep. Yeah.
That's cool.
That sound, would you play that?
I watched you play it.
All right, I will play it. That sounds so fun.
Yeah, I'm not as into the older like platformer.
That was sort of a funny thing about those NES games is like they accidentally made them too hard. Like they weren't quite good enough at making games.
Oh, they're so hard. All of them are so hard.
Yeah, that one specifically is like,
what'd you say?
Nuts.
I feel like what we should do is we should say that if you're gonna make a game now, it has to be like PlayStation 1/2 era graphics and length. If you want to make it sexier looking or longer, you have to get dispensation from the game community at large.
Yeah.
You have to state your case.
Mm.
And then you get an agreement from the game community that they will not get mad at you for it taking longer, for being more expensive or whatever.
Yeah.
It's either you get a PlayStation 2 era style game. If you want it to be sexier, then everyone has to be on board with it's going to be $80 and it's going to be 7 years from now.
Yeah. And when you say sexier, you mean like more appealing gameplay.
Like sexier graphics.
Right, okay. Because in my head, that makes me think of sort of like the phenomenon of the kind of like sexist thing of all, it's just women with giant boobs, which I think...
Oh, that was an era, for sure.
Yeah. I think that the only way you can do that now is if the men have equally giant penis and balls.
There's that...
The balls and titties are jiggling.
Yep. There's that volleyball game.
Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball.
Yeah, Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball.
Yeah. And someone asked me if I could live in a video game world, which one would I choose? And I was like, Dead or Alive Beach Volleyball.
Yeah, the other ones are dangerous. These have ladies with big titties. Why wouldn't I want to be in a volleyball?
And I think like dudes with big butts.
Yeah, big butts and big balls.
Big dicks and nuts. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. With the same sort of like physics graphics associated with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Completely.
Yeah,
I feel like you should have both. Maybe there's a toggle where you like you get hot protagonist or not protagonist. You can choose which one you want. But I like both. I love it. I mean, it's one of the things I like about when people complain about pro wrestling, which I think is wild, where they're like, oh, they have the women like in shirt skirts and they are like in the brassiere. And I'm like, yeah, the guys are naked. It's supposed to just be hot bodies crashing into each other.
Yeah.
We know what we're watching here.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And even like, if there's like an old wizard or something, he should also be like shredded in a G-string. Big ass bud.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
I actually think that's the best. That's really the rebrand for games, is that everyone should have a really big donk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like a $1 billion re-release of every video game ever made, and the only difference is everybody has giant asses.
Oh yeah, Mario with like a big old tushy, you know?
And I'm just thinking of the wizard in Gauntlet where he's just like, he's like, I don't need food badly, but this wizard's serving body.
Face crack, cunt. And it like affects the gameplay where it's like Mario can't jump as high and stuff.
But his ground pound is crazy.
Yeah, because he's thick as hell.
And he can't jump, but when he ground pounds, it's a one hit kill.
Yeah.
It's an AoE that destroys the entire level.
It fractures the earth.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's the time, right? I gotta get back to. So I think we're ending
with hosting skills.
That's the time.
I got shit to do.
What do we say? Butts? Fine. I gotta go.
All
right, I'm out of here. That is a fucking incredible thing to end on. I do feel like totally nonsensical.
Oh yeah,
impractical.
Absolutely
unappealing.
We did it. We saved gaming.
Yeah, we did it.
Well, I was going to say, you know, and Ron, you got arcade games in the background. I've been to your spot. You've got killer arcade games. I'm wondering if in a world where we facilitate community where things come out as they are now downloadable, but then also there's a version where it's like an arcade gathering center where you can come and play the new fucking like Zelda or whatever, but with people. You know, so it's like there's like a story component that is more communal, which I know you're like World of Warcrafts have and your minefields and stuff. Or what is it? Sorry. I'm a noob. Minecraft.
I genuinely do have to go, though. I have to go back to the writer's room.
Okay, honey, I love you.
Bye.
I love you. Okay, bye, guys.
Bye.
See you.
Ron, is there anything you want to pitch or promote right now?
I mean, I just want people to come follow me on stuff, trying to build my platforms. So YouTube would be great. Just they follow me on YouTube at Ron Funches. You can follow me on Instagram or TikTok. I mean, you just look up Ron Funches, it'll find it easily. That's the best way you can do, I think, to support any artist right now. You go to shows, of course, ronfunches.com. But just helping us build our numbers and subscribers, which costs you no money, but helps us when the, because again, now, you know, that's part of our job where they're like, oh, how many followers you got? How many this you got? So,
yep.
In order to maintain the life that I want to live, I need more probably. So help me out. Or they can watch Loot on Apple TV coming October 15th. I would like that too.
And definitely go see Ron. You're live. I think you're one of the funniest living comedians, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude. Seeing you and Lori Kilmartin out here at that show in, what was it, Kookaburra or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, I just hadn't seen you do stand-up in a while. And, like, what a fucking... I think it was like, were you working on new shit then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then, so yeah. Funny. Now, not so much, but then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just... shoot a special.
Wait, what's that?
I'm going to shoot my special in October.
Nice. Where are you shooting it?
At the Den Theater in Chicago.
Sick. That's so fun, man. How much time are you doing on stage right now?
Right now, if I just full cut, then it's probably like an hour five. But it's been like an hour 20 probably because I have everything together.
Yeah.
It'll probably be like an hour and five is my guess.
Yeah. Nice. I recorded like a half an hour a while ago. It's being edited right now.
Nice.
Yeah. I think it'll be fun. Also, you have a tweet of yours popped into my head. And this tweet is probably 15 years old, but I think
it must be. I haven't been. I don't even have a Twitter now.
So. Yeah, as you should. But it was something about people, like, because I remember you were not afraid to like stand up for shit on Twitter, which of course like exposes you to all kinds of psychos. And I remember you just saying like, you can call, like, feel free to call me a social justice warrior. It sounds like a badass superhero.
That sounds good. Yeah, that sounds like something I wrote. That sounds like me. I'm gonna have to take your word for it. Yeah. But no, it's one of the funniest things. That's why I can't do it, because I'm sensitive. And I also, like, it's so funny to me that, like, both sides of every subject have come after me on different things. I've had anti-gun people come at me online. I've had pro-gun people come at me online. I've had anti-abortion people. I had pro-choice people. I've had, it's just so wild. Like, you really, like, it just feels, if you stand up and be like, huh, that seems a little different to me, that you can get attacked on every end. And then it makes you feel like you shouldn't say stuff. So I just like, oh, let me just disconnect from that and put all that stuff into my art and my stage show, so that, A, I'm not just giving away ideas for free, because that's what I was knowing. And that's what I would tell. I wasn't following the advice I would give my friends, because my friend Blair, she would just write all these great silly one-liner jokes, and she would put them on Twitter, and then a week later you'd see somebody else post it, but caught taking all her info out, you know. Mm-hmm. And it had happened to me so many times when I started to actually take charge of it. And, you know, in the last couple of years I've been really adamant about posting clips up and just like showing people, because a lot of people know me from one thing or another. They've either heard me in a cartoon, or they see me acting, or they seen my stand-up, but very few people know all of those things I do. And I'm trying to be like, hey, if you like me from King Shark or Cooper on Trolls, come see my stand-up. If you like my stand-up, come watch my show. I'm trying to meld that all together. And so in doing so, I just have to really, it's kind of like this just slow build, but it seems to be working.
Nice. That's great. Yeah, that's like what Nipsey Hussle did a little bit. His whole thing, like the vertical integration thing, you know, where he owned the store and the printing company and all that shit.
Yeah, I'm trying to get better at business, because I realized that I spent so many years letting my humor and my hard work, because when anytime I do anything, whether I'm guest starring or doing whatever, or doing voiceovers with Ashley or whatever, like, I give full focus and full heart, and notice how many times that platforms were using my work to help build them, and then once they got to a spot where they were felt good, then I wasn't needed anymore, you know?
Yeah, completely.
So yeah, man. Like, I don't want to go through that again.
No, it sucks. And it's like you become an artist, I think, to not, or in my experience, I'll just say, like, you know, to try and not have to deal with that. And sort of as you go along, for me, it's like, okay, once I like get an agent, this will work itself out. Once I get a manager, all this shit, like, but eventually you do sort of come to realize, like, oh yeah, you really are responsible for facilitating every aspect of it.
Yeah, for the life that you want to live. Yeah, because so many, you can be led down so many paths with this, but I got into this to try to be free and have fun. So I never like getting locked into something and then being like, oh, if I wanted a shitty job that I hated, I'd go back and work at the bank, you know?
Yeah, man. Totally. That's, I've been like, I did some stand up this weekend, but I've been like, since I shot that special, like taking a little time off, because I'm sort of in the place of being like, there's only a few places I like performing, and I don't have the opportunity to perform everywhere. So mm-hmm. I haven't been able to do as much stand up as I like, but like the places I'm doing it, I enjoy it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting to me. I didn't have that luxury to choose. I had to go to places that, even if I hated them, because that's one thing I always, you know, was interesting to me. And I have respect for you about that. You started doing stand up when you were already a known actor and have the ability to make money. I was like, oh, if I was already, but I guess I kind of did the reverse. I was already doing stand up and making some money, and I loved acting. So I guess it's not that different. But,
well, and I can't get in at like the Comedy Store and stuff. So there's a bunch of things that I still would, it would be smarter for me probably to go to the places that I hate.
You know. Probably, but then you wouldn't have a good time. You want to do, I think there's nothing wrong with like being like, hey, I want to maintain my style and my level of love in it. And I always am a big believer of knowing when you already won. If you already have a beautiful life, you got a great family, and you know, you already do a lot of stuff, why punish yourself to prove something? You know, it's like when I was a pro wrestler for a little bit, and they were like, oh, if you really love it, you're going to need to come help set up the ring, and you might need to get a part-time job and quit your regular job. And I was like, I already did this for comedy. I'm not doing it again for wrestling. It's not happening.
Yeah, man, it absolutely gets more and more ridiculous as you get older to be like, yeah, I can't. I'm not going to be running around to every single open mic five nights a week or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. But I am crazy where, you know, I do stand up at least 2 to 3 on average. Some days, some weeks it's not so much, but I usually am up three. I try to do at least 3 sets a week. And then on a good week, I'll probably do like 5 sets a week. And 2 or 3 in town, and then I'll do like my 4 or 5 sets on the road in the weekend. So I'm like, I just like always being on stage. And I think one of the lessons I learned from like going through my divorce and still having to do road gigs and being unhappy and being sad and having people watch me and can see it. And they could see, you know, they could see my weight fluctuate. They could see my posture. They could hear me being angry. But there was something that then going through it, like I've had this lady named Stacey Palasak, and she's come to so many of my shows. She'll be at my special. And I think last year she saw me 8 or 9 times in different cities. And just when she saw me a few months ago, and she was just like, you look so much better. You seem so, like, your tone is better. You seem so much happier. She's like, it's so nice to just see you be in a good space. And it's weird and wild to, like, publicly be like, oh, people can have watched me go through these ups and downs. And while part of me was embarrassed, the other part was like, oh, it's so, like, I have real fans who are down with me, and are, if I'm not feeling my best, they still want to hear from me.
Yeah, man. And two, like, I think you're doing a beautiful job as an artist to be like, this is the place that I'm in. It's challenging. I'm going to be honest about it. And it's cool to have that reflected back. I'm glad you're doing well too. I agree. You look great. You sound great. It's nice to, it's good to see you feeling like you're in a good spot. Cause you're also like, it's not surprising because you're like super lovable. That's a thing. Like, I was talking about Hart before, and there are these, you know, in Chicago, I do shows with like, I don't know, they're just like A.D. Bryant or something, you know, they're just these people who like are able to really like perform from their heart directly on stage, you know, so I'm not surprised you have people that are like sticking with you like that, because I think you're really good at showing like exactly who you are.
Mm. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, that. For sure.
I think we got off subject.
Yeah. I like it to be like wandering. That's the thing. As soon as Ashley leaves, I'm like, all right, let's talk about stand up. Right. You can find us on Instagram at Rebrand the Pod, and we have a Patreon for a measly $5 a month. If you're interested, you can support. You'll get access to the Discord where you get to ask questions when Ashley and I do a hangout, like usually once a month or something. You get unreleased episodes, you get ad-free episodes, all that stuff. So join the Patreon if you're so inclined. And thank you for hanging out with us, Ron.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate your patience and flexibility with me. And I wanted to come in person because I just enjoy you and your wife very much as human beings. But then I took a nap and then woke up and saw it said 40 minutes. And I was like, oh, so even I'm going to be there late and then getting home. The worst.
Dude, post-nap LA traffic, that's like Vietnam. That's all. I can think of nothing more hellish.
Nothing's worse, and nothing ever will be worse, and nothing that anyone who's listening to this has ever gone through anything.
Yeah, we're God's strongest soldiers. Yeah, we've been the most, without a doubt. But then I always say, like, waking up from stuff is really hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I, like, if you watch somebody wake up, it looks like somebody offered him a puzzle and punched him.
I'm always so groggy. I drag myself to every single freaking thing I do. Like, I love my life. I love just about every one of my jobs. I do enjoy. I don't, lucky currently, you know, most of my work is with cool, sweet, nerdy people.
Yeah.
But I still have to drag myself. I still am like, I just want to lay in bed and watch Breaking Bad, hang out. I have a girlfriend that lives in fucking the UK. So I never fucking see her. We got to watch Breaking Bad at 6 a.m.
You're on UK time right now. Goddamn. hell yeah. Well, cheerio then.
Cheerio.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.